Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, hey, we got a mostly wide-open show for you here, starting around 7:30 on through the remainder of the show. We're going to have the phone lines open for you and anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks with the final 2 days of shows here before the election results start coming out here, 8 o'clock Tuesday night. Real quick here, before we get to your business news, of course, always great to have Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal with us. I was scrolling through the Fox News Radio affiliate website earlier this morning, and every now and then I'll do a little search just for Montana to see what Montana news is making the big national news. And of course, they had several stories highlighting the very important U.S. Senate race right here in Montana.
How big is this election in Montana for the Senate? Well, it's already the most expensive race per capita in U.S. history of any kind. And why? Because this really could change the balance of power in the Senate. And it's already being $300 is being spent per capita for every registered voter in the state. Democrat incumbent John Tester launching ads attacking Republican challenger Tim Sheehy over a bullet wound to the arm that he says he suffered in combat, but he also told a Montana park ranger it was an accidental shooting in the parking lot. According to Fox News power rankings, John Tester is the most vulnerable Democrat up for re-election. A loss by him will almost certainly flip the Senate to Republican control.
Yeah, it just shows how desperate flat top is. Liberal Senator John Tester resulting to this last minute smear here. But of course, he's got the liberal media in his back pocket as well. All right, let's jump right into it here. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Always some great business news and then great political insight as well. Evelyn, what are you thinking as we head into Election Day here in Montana?
Well, I'm just holding my breath, I guess, for a great turnout from the election, especially in regard to business, because there's no comparison between the two policies that have been put out by the two candidates. I mean, you're either choosing to have open free markets and a robust, productive economy, or one that is shutting down and curbing productivity and making life miserable for anybody trying to run a business. It's just a difference of night and day. And, I have one report here from about electric vehicles, which so totally demonstrates how things deteriorate once government takes over the management of business.
And one thing, kind of in line with your remarks, one thing I've been hearing from a lot of folks out there in the business community is there's a lot of them that are holding on to cash right now because they want to see what happens Tuesday, because they're worried if things don't go the right direction tomorrow that they may need that to hold on to that cash for the dire consequences that will be to come. That's for sure. Hold that thought back right after this.
Democracy 24.
Former Maryland Governor Larry Hogan and Democrat Prince George's County Executive Angela Alsobrooks are vying to fill retiring Democratic Senator Ben Cardin's seat. Both candidates have raised and spent record-breaking sums. A historically unlikely win in Maryland by Hogan would essentially ensure a GOP Senate flip. The former governor has been a critic of former President Trump and feels he can attract voters from across the spectrum.
I've got to convince Republicans to stick with me because and convince independents and Democrats that I'm not going to be just a rubber stamp Republican, that I've always stood up to do whatever I think is right for all the people of our state.
Also, Brooks maintains that she and voters don't buy it.
No matter what he says about how independent and a maverick, he's no maverick, trust me, he's a company man all day long, and he will go hook, line, and sinker with Mitch McConnell, Ted Cruz, and all of those folks.
In Montgomery County, Alexandria Hoff, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some cloudiness across the area today. High temperature readings will range from the mid-40s in Bozeman to about 51 in Billings. For tonight, with cloudy skies, snow showers developing across the Bozeman area with around an inch or less for any accumulations there. Lows for around to mid-20s in Bozeman, mid-20s in Billings. We'll see rain and snow showers Tuesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Betrayal. If I could use one word to sum up the 2024 elections, it is that word, betrayal. Betrayal on our southern border. The betrayal of our Stillwater miners. The betrayal of inflation and high energy prices. Betrayal came to mind once again as we were talking about our left-wing Montana Supreme Court. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Check out this headline. Who are the sons of Montana that we keep hearing about?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we always like to start with the good news when we chat with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, I certainly think most of our listeners will see this as good news. The youth vote, where they have students in Montana's public schools vote in a mock election. Those vote results have now come out. We've got the full results on our Montana Talks website. But the kids have been surprisingly accurate when it comes to the partisan elections here in Montana in the past, where they were an accurate prediction of what took place in the actual election itself. And if the kids are right once again, Donald Trump, of course, will win the presidency here in Montana, but we all expect that. Tim Sheehy will become the next United States Senator, according to the kids, and Republicans will take both seats in the House. That's along with, Governor Gianforte continuing as governor. Anyway, the youth vote has been oddly very accurate in the past, so who knows? We'll see.
Yes, I've heard that, and I've known that. I didn't know. In fact, I was just kind of pondering it the other day if that had changed much over time. I hadn't really followed in the last couple of the elections of whether or not that was still holding true. But it makes sense because they listen to their parents, and I think that is probably, hopefully, still influential. But
well, yeah, and back on this topic where we kind of opened up with, you've got a headline topping the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet right now. Business owners are worried. There is a great deal of anxiety among business people. This comes from Rhonda Wiggers with the National Federation of Independent Business. She's the Montana director for the NFIB. And I've heard that anecdotally from a lot of our, radio sponsors and other folks out there. For example, Terrell Bracken, who he's helping to bring the Bare Knuckle Fight Championship to Billings this Saturday. And then he does the Fusion Fights. And he told me for one of his recent events, he says, yeah, about 30% of the business owners that typically buy tables and sponsor events, they said a lot of them are holding on to cash because they're worried about what might happen. And if things don't go the right direction tomorrow on election day across the country, they're thinking they got to batten down the hatches and prepare for what's to come.
Yeah, you know, a lot of, I mean, the uncertainty is when you talk about, taxing wealth that you haven't really even collected upon. So what does that mean for a business? If they, are they going to get taxed for anticipated profits, whether they happen or not? You know, I mean, it's just a bizarre idea, and it would be a complete destruction of our whole economy to start taxing unearned or income that you really haven't gotten yet, and it could go either way. You may not get that income or return on your investment, how would you apply that to a business? And it's just bizarre beyond belief. So I totally understand their anxiety, and they well should be worried.
Yeah, the Trump. Oh yeah, go ahead.
Well, I said because there really is, when you look at what's happened in the past 4 years to the minutia of how you run a business or what you can sell or how you can make it, it is bizarre how detailed and how much they want to control how we not only work and create things, but how we live our lives, you know, whether we can use gas or electric stoves or just crazy stuff. So all of that has a huge impact on business and on our economy and jobs and everything. And it isn't something you can divorce from politics.
Tax policy is so important, not just for these business owners, but even folks that have a side hustle or have their own LLC or their own small business. Is, you know, you think about the Trump tax cuts and how much so many of us benefited from those Trump tax cuts, working middle class families that benefited from the Trump tax cuts. John Tester voted against those Trump tax cuts. Kamala Harris will not continue those Trump tax cuts. So there are so many Montanans that would see a massive, and small business owners in particular, see a massive tax hike as a result of this. And then I saw the Trump war room shared some very interesting information here over the past 48 hours. Kamala Harris's ban on fracking would cost every family of four $2,500 a year. But we've seen the price of everything go up. They also pointed out an NBC News report that the United States added 818,000 fewer jobs than thought. And so they've been manipulating the numbers out of the Biden administration to make the economy look better than it's actually been. But I think the American people can feel it in their pocket how things are actually going.
Yeah, it just amazing to me how I mean, really, don't they know that we work and live out here every day? And when they're trying to convince us things are just rosy, that they just sound crazy, because we all know what's going on out here, and it's not good, and it's a direction that has to be changed, or, you know, I just don't know where it will lead. It's just not a good direction for sure. It was pointed out that in a recent study that Montana's tourism industry has been growing very rapidly in the amount of money that tourists are spending in Montana increased 2.5%.
Well, hold that thought. I hear a but coming there. Hold that thought. We got to take a hard break here, and then we'll come back to Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal right after this.
Democracy 24.
A whirlwind election year culminates tomorrow with Election Day. The candidates have been campaigning across swing states all weekend. Vice President Harris was in Charlotte, North Carolina, East Lansing, Michigan, and Janesville, Wisconsin.
So imagine on January 20th, it's either that, him fighting over his enemies list, or me working for you on my to-do list.
Today, she's in Pennsylvania visiting multiple cities, as is the former president. He's been in North Carolina, Georgia, and Michigan as well.
Kamala, who's grossly incompetent, broke it. I will fix it. We're going to fix it. We're going to fix it quickly.
He wraps up today with a rally in Grand Rapids. Both campaigns took part in some of the early vote stats. Republican ballots nearly kept pace with Democratic ones, while women outpaced men in ballot returns. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some cloudiness across the area today. High temperature readings will range from the mid-40s in Bozeman to about 51 in Billings. For tonight, with cloudy skies, snow showers developing across the Bozeman area with around an inch or less for any accumulations there. Lows for around to mid-20s in Bozeman, mid-20s in Billings. We'll see rain and snow showers Tuesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Election Day is almost here. Here's what we're going to do on through Tuesday with Montana Talks. We're going to give you the opportunity to talk. We're going to give candidates the opportunity to talk. You can call in. They can call in. Plus, we're going to keep an eye out for the big breaking news. What's the big story of the day? You'll get the chance to tell us. Montana Talks. We take you statewide every Monday through Friday right here, 9 to 10 a.m. The phone number, put it in your speed dial, 406-294-0970.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Gun laws in the state of New York continue to be the focus of federal courts. Ever since the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in the 2022 Bruin case, which undid many of New York State's strict gun controls, the state and the city of New York have been trying new laws aimed at stopping people from carrying firearms, even if they might legally own them. Bruin created a test of new gun laws needing a historical precedent. But now a federal appeals court rules the state does have the power to keep people from carrying otherwise legal firearms in so-called sensitive places such as schools, parks, bars, mass transit, even locales like Times Square. The Second Circuit is basing this finding off another recent Supreme Court decision, the Rahimi case, which ruled that states could keep firearms away from people subject to domestic violence restraining orders. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Today, I'm in Fort Worth, Texas, attending Angus Convention 2024. And there is a lot of cautious optimism for both registered and commercial cattle producers attending this year's event. I caught up with CEO of the American Angus Association, Mark McCulley.
There does tend to be a lot of optimism, not ignoring some of the challenges that are out there. Folks across the country, there's lots of challenges still to point to, right? But in general, I think we look at our market and we look at some of the fundamentals in our market. The demand is incredibly strong for our product, our end product. Even at the retail prices that we've put out there, we continue to see great movement of our beef products out there yet. That's translating. Obviously, we're sitting on some pretty low inventories, so that's sitting translating to some really good cattle prices. But for our commercial customers, of course, our seed stock breeders, our registered Angus breeders have continued to enjoy some really strong demand on their good registered Angus seed stock. And so, again, quite a bit of optimism fueled by some margin and some profitability in our business.
Profitability and herd rebuilding, very big topics here at the convention as it is across the nation. And a lot of uncertainty, though, about when that herd rebuilding will take place. It definitely will, but it is all dependent upon weather and, of course, interest rates as well. Again, I'm at Angus Convention 2024 here in Fort Worth, Texas. I'm Lee Northlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I heard there was a but tourism numbers are strong, but this is very interesting. I couldn't even wait till after the break. I had to ask Evelyn Pyburn about this during the commercial break there. So Evelyn, yeah, they've got this big report. Hey, tourism numbers are up. Look at how great tourism is doing right here in Montana. But what's the but? Share that with our listeners.
Well, the tourists have spent an increase of 2.5% in buying gas or food at local restaurants, etc., in Montana. But a significant portion of that increase is because of higher prices and things are costing more. And, 2.5%, you got to kind of look at it and think, well, maybe not just part of it is due to that, but maybe all of it, all of that increase is because of higher prices. So it's a good report in terms of trying to guess how the tourism industry is doing, but then it might be very misleading because everything just costs more and maybe there aren't as many additional tourists coming through the country. So
yeah, that's very, so basically like yeah, tourism may not actually be up, or people may not be benefiting from tourism that much, because all you're seeing is really inflation baked into the outcome there. Well, and then like I saw a report out of Glacier National Park where they're building electric vehicle charging stations so that, you know, these out-of-state tourists can get free electricity. You know, as Montana is, you know, in need of a lot more electricity these days following the left-wing attacks against our electricity supply. Oh, but no, if you're some, you know, Seattle liberal that wants to, you know, charge up your EV, you get to charge up at APGAR free of charge. Where's our free gas pumps for the rest of us? And oh, by the way, we Montanans need a reservation to get into the park during the height of the season, you know, when we used to just be able to drive in whenever we wanted to. I mean, it's just such a slap in the face. Speaking of EVs, you came across a report. Ford Motor Company is losing a bunch of money on every single one of these EVs.
Yes. In fact, I'm amazed that the lack of discussion about this. Ford Motor Company loses $58,391 for every EV vehicle that they sell. And during the third quarter, the company reported losing $1.224 billion in its EV business. And at the same time, the company reported that sales of EVs were up 14.8%. So I don't know if you would consider the increased sales at that rate of loss good or bad news, but that's what they reported. And its total loss for the first three quarters of the year is $3.7 billion. And that $3.7 billion is equal to a gross profit of the division that makes the internal combustion vehicles. So they're making money when they're selling internal combustion vehicles, but losing, you know, $58,000 for every electric vehicle they sell. And the amazing thing about this is the management of Ford was quoted as saying they didn't know what their customers want to buy. And, you know, you just kind of wonder who's running this company. The puzzlement about what the company is doing is explained by another announcement in August that they are going to move their battery production out of foreign factories into U.S. locations so they can qualify for more federal subsidies. Ford and other automakers are aiming to collect tens of billions of dollars through the Inflation Reduction Act for making batteries in the United States. So, for instance, Ford is building a battery plant in Marshall, Michigan, which is expected to create about 4,200 jobs. And one report said that each of those jobs will cost taxpayers $3.4 million. So if you want to boil this down to its essence, you could say that Ford is no longer in the business of manufacturing automobiles. They are in the business of milking government and fleecing the taxpayers. And this is what happens when government starts running businesses, which is increasingly how things are being done in the United States. And it's what I was referring to when I was saying it matters who gets elected and how business is going to be run in the United States.
Well, and it's so reminiscent of this is why so many of the auto worker union members are going to vote for Donald J. Trump. Because they lost their jobs because of these EV mandates and these EV subsidies. And then it reminds us of the Stillwater miners here in Montana that lost their jobs because this push for EVs also harmed the palladium markets. And then, of course, Joe Biden and John Tester continued to allow the Russians to dump palladium into the market at the same time as well. Lines are open for you if you got something you want to talk about. 406-294-0970. Had a couple of messages that came in on our Montana Talks app, although I'm not sure when these came in. I don't know if these came in this morning or if they came in over the weekend. But anyway, Scott in Great Falls calling in or messaging us from the interstate. Let's see. I recently moved to a new county and went to register and vote, brought my birth certificate, convinced I had to prove citizenship. was very surprised when I was told, no, I didn't have to prove citizenship. That's crazy, isn't it? Isn't that crazy, Scott? And then look at the lawsuits that are being filed, and the Biden administration is fighting these states like Virginia that are trying to make sure that non-citizens are not on the voter rolls. Mikey in Bridger messaged us this: friends, it will take a miracle for Trump to win. There is just too much corruption. And when millions of Christians refuse to vote, they're going to blindly help them do it, which is very sad. He must win so big that there's no way they can rig it. And I still think they can. I'll say it again. It's going to take a miracle. Mikey, I would just add to that, that in Montana, it is so important. Like, look, are we going to be able to impact Pennsylvania, Michigan, or Wisconsin? They say that if Donald Trump just wins one of those three states, he's going to pull it off. And then the other ones that they're saying appear to be in his corner right now. But what we can do is impact Montana. The biggest thing we can do to support Donald J. Trump is voting for Tim Sheehy in the Senate race. But while you're at it, vote red all the way up and down that ticket, because the same flip-flopping, the same phoniness, the same two-faced, say one thing, do another, it's not just John Tester. It's not just Kamala Harris. It's every single one of these Democrats that are in elected office right now. Not everyday Democrat voters. There's some good people that still vote Democrat for whatever reason. It's just what they've always done, and, you know, forgive them for they know not what they do. But these ones that are in elected office, they don't allow, if you're a pro-life Democrat, no way, they will not allow you to be one of their candidates. Some of these Democrat legislative candidates will say, well, I don't support the, you know, men and women sports. They'll tell you that now, but you just wait till the legislative session. They'll find some excuse to vote to allow men and women sports, just like John Tester. Just like John Tester. He'll lie. He'll say, oh, I didn't vote against women's sports. And then you read the story. Oh, he did. But John Tester lied about that. And the fake news media covers for him. By the way, one other headline in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here. The New York Times carried a United Nations report on October 23rd. Female athletes have lost nearly 900 medals to transgender rivals competing against them. Female athletes have lost nearly 900 medals to transgender athletes. But the Democrats and many in the media will say, that doesn't happen that often.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on our Montana Talks app as well. In fact, we just got a message from Hank in Bozeman. Hank in Bozeman says this: the use of soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines by the left to push their agendas is shameless. Whether it's the ponytailed, lying, phony SEAL, or the very idea that service members fought for open primaries is sickening. Hank, I'm with you. This CI-126 and CI-127, they're trying to mess with our elections. They're trying to completely throw out the way we run elections here in Montana. And it's out-of-state left-wing mega donors that are flooding the state with cash, just like out-of-state left-wing mega donors are flooding the state with cash to back up flip-flop, flat-top John Tester. And in one of their commercials, they say, these elections are not the elections that our brave soldiers fought for. It is so despicable that they invoke that in their commercials. I'm with you on that one. And then the ponytail SEAL. Yeah, there's always that guy, right, Hank? There's that guy. Every office, every job. Sometimes there's more than one that guy. But, you know, there's always that guy. Look at the countless numbers of Navy SEALs, EOD techs, their own commander for SEAL Team 2, all has Tim Sheehy's back. But the Democrats go pull this, go pluck this ponytail guy, this ponytail liberal that donated to Kamala Harris, or no, not to Kamala. He donated to Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Chuck Schumer's political action committee. That's the guy they put in one of their campaign commercials. That's the guy they want you to listen to. They're so phony. Let's go to James in Billings next up on the phone lines. James, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Just wanted to call in response to Evelyn Pyburn's comments about Ford milking the government. Really feel like that's an unfair shake for Ford manufacturers, all manufacturers who have really been put in the position by, as you guys know, the mandates to produce products that clearly people don't want. I mean, obviously at $58,000 a piece in losses, they don't want to make that either. But if they have any interest in the internal combustion, they have to sell the electric product. It's not up to Ford what they produce if they're going to survive in this market.
Yeah, so your message is, look, don't blame Ford. Blame the government. Blame the Biden-Harris tester regime that's forcing these great manufacturers to have to deal with this garbage. Is that kind of your point?
That's absolutely the point, Aaron. The rules have made it so that we are limited on what it is we can produce in the internal combustion space without coordinating sales of EV products all over the country. You know, that rolled out this year, 1/1/24 in California. We're telling customers no. I don't work for Ford, but another manufacturer. We tell customers no to orders all day long in California. And 1/1/25, more states come on, including Oregon and Washington. Colorado's on board in a couple of years. Gross total of about 13 states that are taking on these rules in some form, be it emissions or EV mandates that actually preclude the sales of internal combustion engines, if not in cooperation with a supporting number of EV sales. We can't legally sell internal combustion if we don't sell EV.
So yeah, it's so crazy the way they're forcing this on these businesses. A government dictating what you will and will not sell to such an extreme level right now. And then James, you see, I want to highlight what you said there. You said you don't even work for Ford, but you're calling in to defend Ford. So I just want to point that out because this is something that's being forced on all these manufacturers. But then to hear that these EV mandates are the reason why, you know, in large part why 700, well, now 650 of our Stillwater miners are going to be laid off and lose their jobs. It's just, again, it goes back to this word of betrayal. It is such a, it's a betrayal to the American auto industry. It's a betrayal to our miners. It's a betrayal across the board.
I totally agree. And they're pushing a product that really is just, it's not ready to be pushed in the way that they're pushing it. And they are completely oblivious to it. They just don't care. In our interactions with those people at the environmental departments that are passing these rules, they are oblivious to the fact that not just cars, but many areas of EVs, the product just doesn't work in every space that they expected. There's some great places for EV.
Yeah.
We certainly see that. There's some places where EV works fantastic. But it certainly isn't everywhere, as they would have you believe. And they just don't care.
Well, we've got a radio guy in Bozeman, and you know he's got one of the Ford Lightning EVs, and he said it works great for him, you know, because he just charges it up, and he just, you know, he's just pretty much cruising. He's just cruising across town in Bozeman, so that works out. Now, if he had to haul heifers out to, you know, the public auction yards or something like that, it might be a different story. If he had to drive to Miles City, if he had to go here and go there, it might be different. But for him, it works, and for a lot of people in cities, it works. James, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. I greatly appreciate it. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Steve in Billings next up. Steve, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to have an appeal to Christian voters out there who are already registered. I think we passed the registration deadline, but I know a lot of folks, yeah, as a Christian myself, I know a lot of folks who think that you don't need to get involved because God's will is going to be done, and although that is true, God also says that, for the Bible tells us that God raises up nations and he destroys nations. And we're at a point in time in a nation that God had established, and it was established on the idea that we all have inherent inborn rights as image bearers of God. Not all the founders were Christians, but they founded the country on Judeo-Christian principles. And he established this nation with the ability for us to vote and impact things. And so I think it's kind of like the joke that a gal who was on a couple weeks ago tried to tell about a person who was drowning in 10 people, and she kept waiting for God to save her. It's the same sort of a thing. God has established this nation, given us the right to vote, and given us the ability to impact our own well-being and life. And so I think for all those folks who are kind of sitting out and just on the sidelines saying that God will take care of it, well, he's given us the ability to affect our own outcomes. So I just wanted to tell anybody who's registered to vote but not thinking about it to get out there and take care of it tomorrow.
Well, and if you're one of these, you know, Christians or take your pick, a person of faith, and you sit on the sidelines and don't do anything, And you see what they're trying to do to this country. You see what they're trying to do to children in this country, what they already are doing with children in this country, this promotion of this radical transgender agenda where they are literally chopping body parts off of children in the name of their radical transgender agenda. And you're just going to sit there and stand there and do nothing in the face of this outright evil that we are seeing in this country, right? Outright evil. And then, look, abortion. I get it. There's some people that have differences of opinion on where the line should be drawn when it comes to abortion. And well, should it be, you know, should it, when a baby can feel pain, is that where the line should be drawn? Some people don't believe there should be any abortion. Some people believe it should be when the baby can feel pain. Okay, that's it. We're going to draw a line there. What the left is pushing, what the Democrats are pushing right now is no limits whatsoever. And you're just going to sit there and do nothing. You're just going to sit there and pretend to be more virtuous than everybody else, as if somehow your fear of speaking out and your fear of getting involved and your fear of standing up and doing something about it is somehow virtuous. There's nothing virtuous about simply being afraid.
Exactly. And for the time being, we still have the ability to affect the outcome. If we lose this election, if things don't go the way that we would like it to go, we may not have that ability for that much longer. Things are going to get rigged, and then we're going to be sitting looking in the rearview mirror thinking, boy, weren't those great times when we had the ability to vote and affect our own well-being?
You know, I'm going to share a story. I think my pastor would be okay with me sharing this story. I got to visit this man in the hospital before he passed away, a Korean veteran. And he'd always wear his Korean vet hat to church. And my pastor, his family escaped North Korea. My pastor was born in South Korea, Korean-American citizen. And that's why he loves our troops so much. And that's why he doesn't let this freedom thing just go, you know. He said, you know, one of the last things that Korean War veteran told him is, don't let them ever shut down our churches ever again. What a powerful statement there from that Korean War vet before he passed away. You don't think these people are going to try to shut your church down or shut down what is allowed to be said in your church? Look at what they've already done. Look at what they've already done. But no, just sit there. Don't do anything. Don't say anything. Pretend to be so holier than thou and better than everybody else while you sit and let this evil continue.
I'm Maria Cantwell. Too many politicians are too busy fighting each other, but I just want to get things done to make people's lives better. I led a bipartisan initiative to bring computer chip manufacturing and other supply chains back to America, generating billions in private sector investment. To make the chips that run our cars, our appliances, and even our farm equipment, creating jobs, boosting our competitiveness, and lowering costs. It's beginning to work.
Paid for by Friends of Maria.
Fox News commentary.
Another major publication is withholding its endorsement of Kamala. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast.
And I had nothing to do with her disappearance, but people still accuse me of it.
I sit down with the people who lived the nightmares.
I was in shock. I was just devastated.
The investigators who tirelessly worked on the case.
I feel for their families, and I really hope that they can catch this guy.
Bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
USA Today has gone the way of the Washington Post and LA Times and will not issue an endorsement for the 2024 election. The outlet noted that the USA Today network spans over 200 publications across the nation and that local editors across the nation are free to make endorsements at the state and local level. But still, USA Today itself will not hand down a presidential endorsement, and that's big news. In 2016, the outlet didn't fully endorse Hillary Clinton, but it did side with her in an unofficial capacity. In 2020, however, USA Today went all in for Joe Biden. But as for the woman who replaced him and pushed him off the ticket, Kamala Harris? Nope. This is a trend, and I don't buy that it's a trend born out of neutrality or journalistic integrity. Now, it's clear to me these major publications do not and will not pitch their names and reputations to the sinking ship that is Kamala Harris. Can Democrats win without the media? We shall see next week. I'm Tommy Lahren.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
One of the things that government does that it doesn't get enough credit for is improving information. We don't check to see if the gasoline pumps, soda pop cans, or meat packages are correctly weighed and measured because those that mislabel run afoul of the law. Of course, requiring accurate labels has been taken to extremes in some places, like California, where a requirement that coffee be labeled as causing cancer was only recently repealed. Should we do more? Consider the situation of sugar exposure of children. Recent research makes a very strong case that babies who limit their sugar intake in the first 1,000 days since conception have a much lower risk of diabetes and hypertension. This also extends to the time before birth when the mother's consumption. Getting this kind of information out to pregnant women holds the promise of making a dent in a growing public health issue. But what if they don't change diet? Arguably, if we were to require lower sugar diets, say by regulating food, it might bring a better result. You might disagree. I'm Patrick Barkey.
01-6263 QC Kinetics.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Man, the time is flying by. Well, don't worry. We've got the phone lines open for the next 2 hours of the show. Phone lines open. 406-294-0970. If you want to jump in on the conversation, you got something you want to talk about. Greg Franks sent us a message earlier this morning, less than an hour ago. Greg Franks sent us this message. He says, "Today is one of my favorite days of the year. Many may wonder why November 4th is so special. Is it a birthday? No. Is it an anniversary for getting married or meeting someone? No. Today represents the day America turned a corner from social and economic malaise with the surprise upset victory of Ronald Reagan over Jimmy Carter in 1980. Greg says, even though I was only 9 years old at the time, I remember knowing that Americans had made a conscious decision to turn away from the disastrous path the Carter administration had put us on. As some of your older listeners may remember, Reagan was not supposed to win. Just the weekend before, Carter had, according to Gallup, a 1% advantage. A CBS poll had the same. But Reagan came to a landslide victory, winning the popular vote by nearly 10 points and a whopping 489 to 49 Electoral College vote. The American people had spoken and the country changed course to the longest era of economic expansion the world had ever seen. I have faith in the American people that they too will come out in droves to save America tomorrow and mark a new favorite day, November 5th, by overwhelmingly voting for Donald Trump and setting our country back on the right course." What a message there from our friend Greg Franks in Billings. Greg, thanks for sharing that one. Thanks for sharing a cigar on Friday, too, by the way. That was a nice way to celebrate official military retirement. So that was a good time. Had a great crew down there at the Summit Cigar Lounge. All right. Also on Friday, man, if you guys missed it, we got a great phone call. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, he's great. He's a Cherokee Nation. I think he's the first senator, first Native American senator in two decades. I think the last one before him was Ben Nighthorse Campbell, who's Northern Cheyenne, by the way, and a Republican out of Colorado. But anyway, Mark Wayne Mullen, he called in from Trump Force One, And man, you could just hear it. It was like a full-blown party in the background. Here's a little bit about what Mark Wayne Mullen had to say. He had Bobby Kennedy next to him. He had President Trump sitting right next to him as he called in from Trump Force One. I said, well, tell me which campaign is the campaign of joy again?
Yeah, you hear one talking about joy and yet they're full of hatred. I'm telling you, it's good to be on the side. We feel where we're at, right? But President Trump sets the tone, and that's what a leader does, sets the tone. And you see a side of President Trump on stage where he's tough. I mean, that's what a leader does. You got to be tough. But, you know, when you see him privately, he's one of the funniest guys. You see that sometimes on stage, right? He comes across real funny. But in private, he's always goofing off. He's working hard. At the same time, he's talking. He knows everything. He knows about my kids, my family. And he just is, in this morning, he came on the plane in a good mood, and we're going to run through the tape. It's quite a minute. Yesterday, we were traveling with him. I'll just tell you a little bit. I know we're here to talk about Tim Sheehy because Tim Sheehy and President Trump are building a heck of a relationship, and President Trump just loves Sheehy. But just yesterday, we did 3 town hall meetings. We started in Palm Beach. We flew to New Mexico, then to Las Vegas, and then stopped in Phoenix. We got the hotel at a little after midnight last night and started this morning at 5:30. And during all those town halls, he did 12 tele-town halls. I say town halls, during those rallies.
Yeah, the guy just never stops. That's just one day in the life of Donald J. Trump. Full audio, MontanaTalks.com.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.